Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. Today I have the honor of talking to Daniel Mittendorf. Daniel is both a prolific and very accomplished voice developer. He's both an Alexa champion and a Bixby Premier developer, and I'm super excited today to talk to Daniel. Welcome, Daniel. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, hi, Roger. Thanks for having me on your podcast. So I'm Daniel. I'm 34 years old, and I'm a father of two, and I'm living here in Germany. I graduated with a degree in print and media technology in 2010. And while doing so, I was already working for a consulting company here in Germany that helped me to finance the university, and so I could move out from my parents' home. Later, when I was done with the university, I joined a cross-channel agency here in Germany, and we were doing the websites and print for local retailers. And in 5 years ago, I joined Fressnapf. It's a local or a franchise company for pet food here in Germany. And while working there in 2017, I started working for The Voice, in the voice sector. And that led me to fund my own agency, DigiVoice, in 2019, last year.
So you've been in voice for quite a while. Back in 2017 was kind of the early days. So you're part of the what I call the OG, the original voice gangsters, so to speak.
Okay.
Welcome and things. But you said you started back in 2017. Can you tell me what were your first experiences with a voice device and what did you do? And then I also asked to ask, what's the first thing you built?
Absolutely. So my first voice device I owned was the first Echo device, like the tall speaker. But to be honest, the first impression or the first memory I do have about voice technology is Star Trek. Uh-huh. You know, when they're talking about or with the computer, I watched it up and down all the episodes when I was going to my grandma's after school. And that really fascinated me, Star Trek and talking to computer, because I always thought that this is the most natural form of communicating with a computer, talking and listening to it. So this really interested me in the start, but what really got me into voice really was the first Echo device. And I imported my first Echo device from the UK because in Germany we couldn't buy it via Amazon. We had to import it from the UK first. So this got me started and interested into voice.
You know, it's interesting. I think there's a whole generation or multiple generations that became technologists because of Star Trek.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
We saw that. Absolutely. We're like, oh, what a cool future. Let's go build that. And you got excited because I'm likewise. That was such an inspiration. I was like, oh, man, like I want to try to build that. And so
yeah,
then
absolutely.
It made us all technologists. Daniel, what was the very first Alexa skill that you built?
Actually, it is Stream Player, one of the most successful ones also. That is also now ported to Bixby. And I was in my kitchen and I was cleaning up after I made dinner and I wanted to watch soccer. This was running on the local TV, but there was no way, there was no built-in browser yet to the Echo device, to the Echo show. And so I thought that there must be a way to get it done. And to have this problem, and I wanted to solve it for myself only. But then after I showed it to a few of my friends and colleagues, and they were really impressed by that and wanted to try this out themselves. So I just went ahead and published this skill. And this actually is my first skill. And in the JavaScript code, or not JS code, you will still find some references to the first fact skill this is built upon, because really I had no idea how to start and I built it up from a template. So this is still fun looking into the code, yeah.
Wow, that's super successful for our first skill. I think I built something without jokes, which is still live and gets like zero users, but Street Player has done pretty darn well. And now you've ported it to a couple other. So can you tell me about a couple other voice experiences that you built, ones that you're particularly proud of or you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, so another one, my 8-year-old boy came to me and he asked me, what does New York look like? How do the streets look like? And he owns an Echo Show 5, like the smaller device. And so I built another skill for the Alexa device. which enabled him to browse via Google Maps and to give like a name of the city or the street, and he can look it up on his Echo device. That is something that is really helpful to a lot of people. This is like my third or fourth successful Alexa skill for now. And another one we've just released here in Germany, it's called KinoHeld. It's for the cinemas. So you can book cinema tickets. And this is by far the most complex skill I've built, because you have to pick a movie title, cinema, show times, seating preference, and also discounts. And this is like a really big flow I had to build, and really complex, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you get into commerce, it seems simple on the surface because we all do it all the time. But there's a bunch of flows you need to think about. You need to think of transactions. You're dealing with real money, payments, that kind of thing. It adds kind of exponential complexity on top of that. But this will be, so if I want to go to the cinema, I can just completely go buy tickets and be all done, be a voice-only experience. Is that what it does?
Absolutely, yeah. You get the best seat available, because picking a seat via voice turned out to be harder than we thought at first, because you have to think about the row you want to sit, and every cinema has a different seating area. We went ahead with an algorithm that provides you the best seats available.
Ah, so it chooses the seats for, because I was like, wow, I don't know how I choose seats easily via voice, but it has an algorithm that says these are the best seats available and then offers them up and does it for you.
You have the chance to go like in another seating area, like floor a balcony, and then you will get like the best seats available there. But all in all, there's an algorithm behind it that provides you with the best seats. Yeah,
I love hearing about AI kind of grease the wheels of commerce, so to speak. I have a deep background in e-commerce, and when you use it to make the logical choices for the customer and then let the customer still be empowered to make the choices that are really important to them, then you get kind of the win.
Absolutely.
The obvious, easy things that an AI can do, it'll do for you, and then you get to make the hard choices or the choices that you really care about. And then you get a win. There's such a great opportunity, frankly, for AI and commerce. And we're just so beginning of that. And I can go off on tangents about that. But what I want to do before we continue is I'm going to play a little bit of Stream Player on Bixby. So let's give that a try. Hi, Bixby. Ask Stream Player to play ABC News.
Just think right. Got my minute ready? Right.
Yep. Okay, and ABC News is playing.
Just the one case today, so.
Hi, Bixby. With Stream Player, play channel 2.
The federal court is issuing an injunction against the Trump administration in its efforts to change the schedule of the 2020...
Okay, and that was channel 2. So that's a quick example of Stream Player in action. Hey, Daniel. Before the podcast, you're talking and you said, I thought of Stream Player is something to play videos, but you said there's an audience above and beyond that. You want to expand on that or tell me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. The first users that reported back with positive feedback were actually blind people or people with disabilities with their sight. So this is really huge base and user base. And currently we have 50% of the users are using the Stream Player with the audio only, as they are just listening in to their favorite TV channels or movies or series. And this came as a surprise to me, to be honest, because we always think about watching television is like a visual medium. But to be honest, like 50% of the users are just wanting to hear the audio of the TV channels. This is surprising. Yeah.
That's interesting. So Stream Player was the easiest play for them to start hearing the audio. I think voice is so powerful for inclusiveness. And as you open up a new modality, you start enhancing inclusion and getting people who previously struggled to be able to use technology. But that's like a serendipitous thing where you built it not thinking that, but then the first users were people who were blind. And that's an awesome story. I love when that serendipity helps a group who you didn't originally think about, and it just all works out and makes the world a better place. So good job.
Thanks.
I understand you founded DigiVoice.io as a voice agency in 2019, and then you recently joined Beto. Let's start with DigiVoice. Tell me about the founding of DigiVoice and what type of work you did.
I founded DigiVoice in 2019 after I created voice experiences for brands on third parties already 2 years ago in 2017. But I wanted to focus my work and be like my own boss. And what really helped there was that I got named an Alexa Champion or Bixby Premier Developer, as this really brought some focus on myself and my work. So I did everything myself, like the consulting, the development, the support after a voice experience had launched. And I also had some really great projects coming up, which would help me scale DigiVoice. I wanted to hire a dedicated developer and a salesperson. But then the corona pandemic hit, and in mid-March, like all the projects that I had lined up for the second and third quarter of 2020, they got put on hold. So that was pretty rough.
Yeah, corona. Yeah, put a lot of business plans on hold or disrupted a bunch of things. But congratulations on taking the leap into creating your own voice agency and doing that. I know that's the dream of a lot of people. And I think one of the challenges in the industry is still to this day is making money and making that happen. So that's great. You went ahead and made that happen. And then this great calamity hit the world, which got a bit of resetting. So you recently joined Beto as CTO. Tell me more about joining Beto.
Yeah, so I met the two CEOs of Beto in August of 2019 when I was giving a talk in Berlin about voice commerce. And we kept in touch after that. And we have already went ahead and wanted to do some projects together. And in early 2020, we started talking about a merger of Beto and DigiVoice. And then when they came to me with their plans and project they had lined up for this year, I was very interested in. And then again, the corona pandemic hit and I had zero projects at this point. So we started talking about a merger more, and this is when I decided this might be a good way to focus our work together, to merge and to become a big brand and a big agency here in Germany, to build best voice experiences in Europe and Germany. So this is when we are officially merged in May. This is when I joined Beto as a CTO, and I'm now overseeing the voice user interface design, the development, and all the other technical stuff.
And is Beto 100% focused on voice, or is there other agency work it does?
No, we are a digital agency. We are focused on voice, not only Google, Bixby, and Alexa, but also on other voice experiences like built in into a car or like in your kitchen. You maybe have a dedicated voice experience or voice assistant in your fridge or whatever. We are doing consulting work, strategic consulting work for all voice assistants for the voice sector and also development.
Yeah, I've heard there's an explosion of work on what I'll call the independent voice assistants, the kind of small, purpose-built voice assistants. And this has really been driving a lot of agency work there. So good job. I would also love to talk to you about, you co-founded Levuba,
am I correct? Levuba, yeah.
Levuba, and that's a startup for educational voice experiences, which gets me excited just talking about it. So tell me more about Levuba.
Yeah, okay. So Levuba first is short for Learn, Voice, and Battle. We added the second O because there's like an antibioticum in Eastern Europe that is called Levuba with one single O. So we went ahead and just added the second O. So this is like we are focused on educational voice apps and experiences for kids, as I have two kids on my own and my two co-founders also have kids. And in early 2020, there was an EdTech challenge by Amazon. So we teamed up with all three of us, and we came up with the idea for Levuba. And Levuba is an educational voice experience where kids can compete against their classmates from school when they are at home. So we came up with this idea even before Corona hit. But this even better idea now when kids are sitting at home and schools are closed and there's lockdown happening. So teachers can use our system and add questions and quizzes for their classes. And the kids, while sitting at home, can use our skill, as our skill is like the first ever real life multiplayer skill where you can play against your classmates Alexa by Alexa device. To stay in a lobby and wait for other players to join, and then you can challenge your classmates, only your classmates, so you know who you are playing against. And then you get 5 questions that the teacher enters into our system, and you win the round when you are answering the most questions correctly in the shortest amount of time.
I love that. That sounds like a lot of fun. So you get a little bit of learning, but a little competition in there and gamifying it, which always makes it more fun. Education, I think many of us believe, and I have 2 kids myself, is a place where it definitely needs to be reinvented. And I love when I hear about technology reinventing education. And I think voice has such a powerful, I've had a long conversation, many conversations with Julie Daniel Davis about this.
Oh yeah.
Voice, yep. And education and the opportunities there and that. And I love it because not only is we using tech to reinvent education, but voice is this different medium. And there are kids who maybe they struggle with reading, but are really good orally. What they hear, things they understand. And so I love the idea, yes, you get the lecture from the teacher, but using voice assistants as a way of augment that type of learning. Even if you don't struggle with it, it's a different type of learning when you hear it and speak than when you read. And so it augments and completes the education. And outside of the classroom, now if I can use voice as a way to learn, it's a great unlock for education. So great job.
Thanks.
So I want to switch gears a little bit, and I want to talk about the actual building of voice experiences.
Yeah.
You found a lot of success building them, Daniel. Can you tell me, though, how does it start? What's the creative process when you're thinking about, I'm going to build something new? Well, how does that work?
Yeah, so first, there has to be like an idea. What do you want to build? I do like to look at what problems are there to solve, and is voice like the right technology for it? And because if there are other ways to solve a problem that is faster than voice, I don't like to use voice as a solution to that problem. So it has to make sense to use voice for that problem. And then when I do have an idea, I like to sketch it out on paper. I do like paper because you have something in your hand, you can rewrite it, and it just makes a bit more sense to start there. But when I get further into the idea, I put all of this in like a PowerPoint presentation and do the voice user interface and get a feeling how this would feel like in a voice assistant. So when I have the voice user interface, I'm going to write down like the happy path. And also often it helps to do a little role play where one person like plays the user and the other person talks like a voice assistant, because writing it down is always different than hearing it or talking like it. There's always a difference between it. So this is how I start with an idea and the first steps.
Interesting. I haven't thought about using PowerPoint as a tool, but you use that as a tool to early prototype and think about the flow. I love hearing what tools, industry is so nascent and the tools are so simple. I love hearing about what new tools or what existing tools people have repurposed for building and thinking about in the design and things in PowerPoint. That's interesting. And it's such a tool that so many of us know. Sometimes too well.
Yeah.
But that's great. And then, you got it. You got to test. I love the idea of someone's the voice assistant and someone's the user, and you got to test it verbally, because the way we communicate verbally and written is so very different. And we clearly learn how to speak and dialogue, but we don't write. When you're in school and you do your writing, right? You're not writing screenplays. You're not writing dialogue. and you're not thinking about it. And so it's actually a big challenge. It's a different kind of cognitive process going through to think about speaking rather than writing something that someone will read. So good stuff there.
And what I also like to do is have this role play in the car, because when you're driving, you are already a bit focused on the traffic and your car and the driving itself. And when you are still able to think about and use the words, the utterances, and have a feeling about how the skill or voice app or capsule might feel like and look like or listen, this really helps a lot when doing this in the car.
Super interesting. I love that. So try the car out and use it there and see if it works. That's when you were talking about testing in the car, I was thinking back to some of the musicians' recording studios. They actually have a car connected out back, because the musicians want to go listen in the car to see how it sounds in the car, because the car is a completely different environment, right? And that's an important place to do that. Cognitively different, you're more distracted in a car. And I also think that there's such a huge promise for voice assistant usage in the car and the auto. And
yes, okay. Location-based services, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yes, exactly. And doing interesting things there. And just, we spend something, maybe a little less in these times of COVID, but it'll go back to spending way too much time behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And voice assistants are a great way to provide some entertainment there. Now, when you go to actually develop it, Daniel, there's the standard tools, Amazon's Ask, Bixby Developer Studio, Google Dialogflow, or actually, I'm forgetting the new name of the Google tool, but they've migrating that way. Do you use these standard tools? Are there any other development tools you use? Tell me about your kind of tool set for development you use.
Yeah, I'm using those tools correctly. Locally, I'm Visual Studio Code to write the code. And for Bixby, of course, the Bixby Developer Studio. But for the first prototyping or sketching out, I often use VoiceFlow. But as a technical person, I need full control of the code and the setup. So I don't like using VoiceFlow for a live voice app. I'm really looking forward to the day when they have like code export. This will be like a game changer. But other than that, I'm using Sketch or Adobe XD or Photoshop for creating the visual components that might be needed for like supporting display devices. Yeah, that is what I'm using.
That's interesting. I like using VoiceFlow for prototyping too, but I've never released anything on it because I always want the control.
Yeah.
Funny, so you mentioned, I've had some conversations with Braden about that exact topic, and they just introduced, I think it's in beta, for their kind of enterprise users, code export.
Oh, really?
Right? Yeah. From VoiceFlow. So I think they're thinking along the same lines of, hey, we have all these kind of sophisticated users using this as a prototyping tool. Maybe we can use this as kind of a kickstart coding tool that you add on to. So I'm excited to see where that goes. But I'm a fan of that tooling, and I think it's great for prototyping. And clearly people have built some pretty cool stuff and had some success just using it. So what about for developers? Dan, you've been in voice for a while now, who are just starting out with voice, and they're trying to figure out what to build or how to build it. What advice would you have for them?
Yeah. Okay. I would give them the advice to just start. There are so many like tutorials or videos out there. Just give it a try. Use the docs from Amazon, from Bixby, from Google. Have a look at the video tutorials like John and you are creating on or publishing on YouTube. Just think about an idea you might have. Give it a try. Maybe use VoiceFlow to sketch out the idea, to build a first prototype and see if it's working, test it. And yeah, that would be my advice. Just try it out. It's easier than you might think, especially when you're using VoiceFlow at the beginning. And don't be afraid to ask in the community if you have questions. And yeah.
So maybe the voice industry should steal the Nike logo. Just do it. Because I've heard that advice before and I agree with it. Just go jump in and build something. Right?
Correct.
And see how it works and understand it. And it's fun and interesting. And maybe you can build something cool. And I always say, whatever you build, you have at least one passionate user base fan yourself.
Yeah.
And if a lot of other people find it's fun, that's great. A technologist we love to build. So go do it.
Exactly.
Hey, Daniel, one of the things that You've definitely had some success in the voice industry. So I'm really curious about your thinking around discoverability and the challenges there and what you've done to overcome that. Maybe I'll ask you questions about marketing if you're doing that. What are your thinking thoughts around getting your voice experience discovered?
Yeah, I tried many ways for marketing, Google ads or Facebook ads, creating my own websites and doing some search engine optimization. But what really helped was like a Facebook community and building a website and having a newsletter where you can keep in touch with your user base. Also, what really helps is just to have a good voice app that really works without any errors. So it's useful for people and they keep coming back to use it. The mouth marketing is really important as we are all struggling with discoverability, as Bixby has its own Bixby store and Amazon has its own Amazon Alexa store. It's really hard for new skills, for new capsules, for new voice developers to get attention, to get discovered by new users. So what really helps is like maybe also have an email address or a help desk support where you can address issues that people might come up when you're there using your skill and just be there for them, help them, give them support. Happy customers or happy users will always come back. And this is maybe like the most important part. The most important part, I guess, for me in marketing was to have a happy customer and make them happy, try to solve their problems when there are any. And they will keep coming back.
Yeah, you're right. Build a quality experience is key. And then tell me more about Facebook groups. Are there Facebook groups for some of your voice experiences or?
Yes, exactly. For Stream Player, I do have a voice Facebook group. And this is helpful to keep in touch, to push out messages if there are any new channels or if there are like an outage of the service. This is really helpful to also get feedback from the users.
Get feedback and listen to it. So you're just echoing advice I hear from when I talk to Sarah, Andrew Wilson, and recently Nick Schwab, two super successful people in voice. And they're like, you got to listen to your users. And I think this is not a technologist first thinking. They think when they get it out the door, they're done. You've just started.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get it out the door, start listening, refining, and really over and over again, the people who are successful in voice and indeed any software are the ones who know the journey starts with the release one. And it's a never ending journey to keep on listening to your users and getting feedback and building it and that. I totally see that. I think Sarah made this great comment. Even if you get the worst negative feedback, they're giving it to you because they care. Because they really don't care, they wouldn't even bother giving you feedback. So anybody who gives you feedback has valuable input, and so go listen to them and try to build it. Yeah, it's a great way to think about. I think people need to remind, it's the beginning, is the first release. Not the end.
But it's really hard to get this into the head of a potential client, like a brand or third party, that you have to stick with the plan. You have, when you have released the voice experience, you have to listen to the customer. You have to build upon it. And it's not done yet, like you said. It's just like day one, or when you're starting, it's just the beginning of the journey.
It's interesting when you talk about, and I was talking about individual developers. You talk about that's so true with companies, right? And I think the difference is right now, if I'm a new company, I can pretty easily create a website and a mobile app. They're, I'll say, pretty decent because the tooling's so sophisticated there. There's a lot known about what people like to do. Voice is so nascent and new. The biggest companies in the world building voice experiences still, nobody really knows how customers want to interact with you as a company. And so the nature of building voice right now is go build it, go try it. You're mostly going to get it wrong and go build again this iterative process. But that's really different than where we are with other mediums right now. Are you finding it challenging with clients to say the beginning is the first release and you're going to have to iterate over and over and over again to get this to work really well?
Yes, exactly. That's the problem. You have to make sure that they understand that this is just the start. We at Beitou, we build skills or voice experiences based on the MVP. It's like the minimum viable project or product. And we start with the minimum set that is required and iterate on that and to expand the voice experience. And this really helps to push out the first version rather easily and quickly. But again, it's just the start, and you have to listen to the users. You have to listen to the customers that are using your skill and build upon that. Yeah.
Amen to that. Daniel, let's talk Bixby. You've published several Bixby capsules, including Stream Player, Mosquito Stop, and Once Upon a Time in History. Tell me how you got started with Bixby and what the experience has been like.
I heard about Bixby years before I got started working on it, because I already owned a Samsung phone and there was like the first version of Bixby installed. But it wasn't easy to build for the first Bixby. So that really changed when the second version of Bixby got released. And in, I guess it was March or April 2019, I got a message from the Be My App team. And they were asking if I wanted to be a part of the Bixby program and if I was interested in building for Bixby. And of course I was. It was a great opportunity to dig into a new voice assistant. And so a few days later, I had a call with Sarah Park and Jeff and David Jean, And we talked for an hour about Bixby and what they were thinking about, how Bixby would be changing the market, how it would be developing for it. And I wanted to help expand Bixby. It was just a pleasure talking to them, and they were so friendly and helpful. And so I got on board quickly. And when I saw and first used Bixby and I saw the development platform, the Bixby Studio, it was a really great experience. It was very different from the Alexa and Amazon system and how to build for Alexa. But it was a great experience to see how different building for voice can be. And so the first capsule I built was Mosquito Stop, and I saw how easy that would or how easy that was. So I just built like Pets Relax and Once Upon a Time, all of the three capsules within 2 or 3 weeks. And because the documentation was so great and the sample capsules were so great, it was just so super easy and super fun to build for Bixby. And this is how I started building for Bixby.
Great. There's lots of music to my ears in that. I will pass that on to the team, how nice they were. And it's great to say our sample documentation in that, because we work really hard in that and we continue to try to improve in that. So speaking about Bixby, it's primarily on phones today. You can start building some simple things for watches. And it's coming to TVs and smart appliances this year. What are these new devices are you most excited about?
To be honest, the watch and the TV.
Okay.
I think the watch and the phones and watches, devices that you carry with you around, that you have around and with you all the time. And this is very different than the TV or the smart appliances like fridge, because they are stationed at home. While you're on the go and you often want to use like location-based services, and it's easier to talk to your watch than pulling out your phone from your pants or from your pockets. And so I think it will be very different building for all of the different device types, because on a watch you have a small display, while on the TV or on the fridge you do have a really big screen that you have to think about building. And I think this is the TV, because most people use it often when they are at home, and the watch when they are on the go. So these are the two devices I think are the most exciting ones to build for.
I share your passion. I think they're super interesting. The kind of location-based stuff you can build on phones and watches. And then you think about the TV and the giant screen. I'm really looking forward to seeing voice experiences built for these new devices there.
Yeah.
Right before we were talking, I was saying, are you speaking at Voice Summit? You said no. And I said, I'm giving a talk about building for new, you know, on new devices. And you're practically giving my talk as you're talking. So we definitely are aligned. So speaking of a voice and the voice industry in general, where would you like to see it go in the near term, in the next year or so? What do you see that's working right now? What would you see that needs improvement in the short term?
Yeah, we talked about discoverability before, and I think discoverability and retention, how to keep the customers coming or the users coming back, that is a problem. It's very important to help the users to find out what's possible and to have them reminded about it. And Samsung with Bixby and Amazon with Alexa are both working on it with their newsletter and like name-free interaction and ways to enable third-party capsules to override the first-party experience. That is what Samsung for Bixby created in late 2019, is when I first heard about it. And what I really like and love is the idea that hardware and software will be decoupled. Like you have a smart speaker at home that is like the hardware, and whatever voice assistant is running on there, you can choose what assistant you want to use on this device. So there's already this global voice interoperability initiative that is working on this. And so what I really would like to see is hardware decoupled from the smart speaker software, so you can run multiple voice assistants at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's coming. I think it's a kind of a little bit of a tortuous path to get there, but this kind of independence of the hardware and software will unlock a lot of things there. What about if I say, I want you to pull out your crystal ball and think about 5 or 10 years from now, you rub that crystal ball, where's voice in 5 or 10 years?
Hopefully we do have spaceships like in Star Trek and
Amen. Voice there. Well, our childhood dreams will have come to fruition.
Oh, yes, ahead. Definitely. Yeah, okay, I think voice will be an integral part of our daily lives, even more than today. When we come home or when we're driving in our car, voice will be all around us. In, I guess, all of the devices we will be using will have voice support, so we can choose if we either want to use touch or voice. And so I think voice will be built into every device in the future. And hopefully all of the different assistants will be interconnected and working together with one goal, that is supporting us, supporting the users, supporting the humans to get things done quicker, easier, and this would be my dream for the next 5 to 10 years.
Awesome. As I like to say, let's have a beer in 5 or 10 years and compare all our future yeah, predictions yeah. And see if we got them half right. So Daniel, as we wrap up, one of the questions I always like to ask people is, you built some amazing voice experiences yourself, but what are some other voice experiences that you use and why do you really like them?
Yeah, there's a funny thing. You mentioned Nick and Sarah earlier, because two of the skills I like to use most is a question of the day. It's from Sarah, and the sleep sounds from Nick. Although I don't use the sleep sounds from Nick for sleeping, but they are helping me concentrate during work. So it's a completely different scenario, I guess, than Nick had in mind when developing it. But I do like to have the sounds running while I'm sitting here and developing, as this really helps me calm down and focus on the task at hand.
Interesting. I'm going to have to try that, because I'm not a big listen to sounds at night, go to sleep guy. I like silence, but keeping them as concentration, that's an interesting use for them. Yeah, does Nick know about that? Have you ever talked to Nick about that or told him that it's good for...
No, I really have not, no. I think I will write him later, yeah.
Yeah, you should. I having talked to Nick many times, Nick always loves to hear about new ways people are using what he's built. So,
yeah,
and then he starts thinking, you'll get his brain thinking about, Is there some other kind of sound or that, or I could build yes. to help with that? So that's great. Yeah, those are really both amazing voice experiences. Hey, Daniel, if people want to keep in touch with you and yes. what yourself and Beto, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, they can visit our website, beto.com, or write me on Twitter or LinkedIn, and I also have a GitHub profile. Everything is under Dan Mittendorf, so you can find me on Twitter, LinkedIn, and GitHub. Email, like old school email. It's daniel@mittendorf.net.
So I'll include all of that in the show notes. And as I remember, there's some pretty cool code you have on your GitHub repo. So as a developer, go check out Daniel's GitHub repo.
Thanks. Yeah.
Hey, so Daniel, I've always admired the voice experiences you built, and I was really excited to have you as a guest on the podcast, and I just wanted to say thank you so much. You've been a great guest, and it's been just a real pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, and likewise, it was a really pleasure talking to you, and the next time I hope we do have that beer.
Absolutely. Post-COVID, let's all sit around and have a beer or two. All right. So that's all, folks. Till next time, this is Roger Kibbe of the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast signing off.